This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. A doctor with OSF St. Mary Medical Center here in Galesburg just returned home today, in fact, from an overseas mission with the military. So he has a very interesting story to tell, and I'm pleased to take a few minutes to talk with Dr. Josh Carpenter, who is a doctor again at St. Mary's, to talk about his experience. First of all, Josh, thanks so much for your service, and thanks for your time this evening.
No, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Very good. We're glad to have you, for sure. You're based with the 182nd Medical Group in the Peoria Air National Guard. You went to Southeast Asia, is that right?
Yes, sir.
We should say up front that we can't ask about the mission specific, but I imagine that since this isn't your first tour of duty, I imagine you, in addition to doing your job, you see a lot of interesting things, don't you?
Yes, it's not usually something where you're looking for too much extra to do over there. they tend to keep you busy.
Yeah, I can't imagine you go on a military mission and have a lot of days off, right?
Nope.
It says here you're a flight surgeon. Can you kind of explain what that is?
Sure. So flight medicine is kind of a unique area of medicine that they really don't have a civilian counterpart. The idea behind it is to sort of optimize human performance. And so the way that I can best describe it to people is it's about 50% family medicine, 40% occupational medicine, and 10% human performance. So we're asked to focus our care on aviators and special operation battle airmen to help support the mission. Additionally, we may be asked to do like critical care air transport for inner theater or intra theater medical evacuation.
Wow, that's so. In other words, everything you just told me doesn't sound like anything I've ever seen on MASH.
it's similar but different, just okay. In the air.
You know, and along those same lines, in all seriousness, though, you have in your time serving with this unit, you've come up with some ways to really kind of do things better and better respond to some of the needs of the aviators, right?
Yeah, it's a constant work to kind of try to improve the quality and try to improve the mission. It's always something where we're always looking at trying to kind of biohack just about any individual. And I think that resonates with anyone, whether they're working an office job or whether they have to kind of survive in the rigors of an austere environment.
Sure.
It's a constant work to try to limit some of the distractions for them so that they can focus on training and focus on the mission.
And speaking of the missions, some of those missions can be flight missions can be pretty long things. And from what I was reading, one of the big problems that pilots get is dehydration. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. So a lot of times, most of the support for dehydration really begins hours and days before a mission for them. We've got pilots in certain aircraft that may fly for 24 hours, where
wow.
they're going to be on an aircraft and they're going to be on 24-hour missions, trying to get some sleep in a bunk in the middle of a flight, and using a crew with some augmented pilots so that they can do that. And certainly that doesn't offer itself to kind of sit back and make sure that you're paying attention to hydration. And so it does become a bit of a challenge to ensure that the pilots are optimized and able to focus on the mission. As dehydration worsens, it's something that really can degrade your performance.
And it can pretty much shut down other parts of your body if it gets bad, right?
It can, yep. certainly in you know certain environments, especially over you know in some of the deployed environments, it really doesn't take much to start suffering.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, other than dehydration, what other problems do you see in pilots and in aviators like that that you think you've been able to help lessen the effects of? I guess.
I think one of the big areas that we're able to help is with some of the shift work problems, and that is it may be that a crew is called to serve a mission. Say they're supposed to take off one day at maybe 9 a.m. and they've got a 16-hour day ahead of them, and then their next mission is going to be 9 p.m. And so this really takes a lot of training and a lot of discipline on their part, and that's where I can kind of shine with them, is help them realize, okay, if you stay up a little bit longer here, maybe you put your nap here, it's going to try to help optimize them so that they're not just overly fatigued for some of the critical flying that they do. It's a very technical job that they're doing, and so obviously they need to be very alert.
Well, not the same thing necessarily. Are these the sorts of things that we think about that might be problematic for commercial airline pilots and people like that too?
It is. The big difference, and I think why you don't see the same focus on the civilian side, is most of that mitigation is done through the scheduling. The difference between the flying that my aviators do and the civilian flyers is, the circumstances really dictate the mission and the times. And so it may be that it's safe to fly at a certain time, but it's not safe to fly at other times. And so it can become very difficult to mitigate some of the fatigue through the scheduling itself. Certainly we do everything that we can, and I try to help work with command staff to mitigate that as well. But some of that really comes down to the individual and the crews to make sure that they're optimizing themselves to be able to adjust to the rigors of that kind of schedule change.
So let's kind of move to today before I run out of time. You've been gone since before Halloween. So what was it like when you stepped off the plane today to see your family?
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I've got a 19-month-old who he had a big smile for me, and it's just incredible to kind of see. It's nice with technology these days. We're a little bit spoiled, compared to what some of the previous generations have had for their experiences with these things. But I've gotten to watch him grow up, and so I've kept up with him over the last couple of months. But it was just a phenomenal feeling to get to see him and hug him.
Does it make it more difficult to go out on these missions?
It certainly does. So, I deployed a very similar, it was the same time frame about 3 years ago,
yeah.
And it was before my son, and it was a completely different experience this time for sure. It's always hard leaving family and loved ones at home, and I always I'm always telling people that really, those are the ones that are really sacrificing. When you're working every day and you're focused on the mission, the time kind of passes. But it's the only way that we're able to do that over there. And I think I speak for the whole unit is when everyone's working hard back home and making sure that we're able to focus and get the job done. It's I'm humbled by it. It's an incredible thing.
And that said, as stressful and as maybe, I guess, homesick as you get at times, your wife served too. So at least it I imagine it helps to have somebody who kind of gets it, right?
Absolutely. It's nice to know that the support is there, and it does make it a lot easier. Mm-hmm. But like I said, she's the one that deserves the medal from all of this. It was her work that made it all possible for me.
That's for sure, although I think a lot of people would like to give you one of those medals too. So it sounds like now that you're back home, you're going to take some time to decompress, and then I imagine you're looking forward to kind of just getting back and being a regular doctor again for a while, right?
Absolutely. You know, one of the side projects that I was working on was getting certified in lifestyle medicine, which is how to treat chronic diseases with food essentially as medicine.
Oh, wow.
So I'm excited to bring part of that into my practice as a hospitalist out at the out at OSF, and you know, hopefully do some human optimization out at the hospital.
Well, once you get fully certified and that training is done, we probably would like to love to talk to you about that at some point. Maybe one final thing here. You mentioned your deployment a couple of years ago. While being away is difficult, it does somehow allow for some cool things to happen. You got to watch a certain baseball team that, for the record, we don't air on this radio station, win the World Series. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It was quite an experience. So we were at the time. I actually watched them across multiple different countries because we left game one of the World Series, and so I had to watch the first game in Canada, and then the second game was in England, and then we finished up the rest of the series as I was in the Middle East, and with the time change, I was waking up at 3 a.m. in order to watch them. To make things a little bit better, one of the other flight surgeons that I was with, one of the great things about being in the Air Force is you meet people from all different places. He was a big Cleveland Indian fan, and so I woke up early and watched the game and made sure that when he showed up to work, his desk was covered in a W flag.
Yeah, I was... Nice one. I was going to say you did get to display that flag while you were serving in that deployment. So that's a cool thing, isn't it?
It really was. It was a really neat experience, and part of the great part about being in the Guard is that I was able to, as I was waking up early, I wasn't the only one. There was a whole group of us from the 182nd that they're big Cubs fans, and we had actually had the opportunity to do the opening day flyover for them that season, and so we were very excited to be able to do those things.
I should mention before we wrap up that you spent Christmas and New Year's away from your family. Is it time to open presents yet?
It is. Yeah, we're going to be sitting down, and Knox is young enough that we're able to kind of delay. Some of the grandparents got to do a little bit of a Christmas thing, but we're going to do our own, and so we're really looking forward to that.
All right, Dr. Josh Carpenter with OSF St. Mary Medical Center just came back from a mission in Asia, and we thank you so much for your service and for your time. And I jokingly said on this program last week, let me be the first to wish everybody a happy new year, but there's still some people I can tell that to. So happy new year to you, and welcome home.
Thank you very much.
Coming up later on the program, we'll hear from Governor J.B. Pritzker regarding some issues, including that email situation that caused now former Illinois Ag Secretary John Sullivan to resign. But when we come back, we'll have sports and business news on Galesburg's Evening News.